The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and the Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way is to head on over to iTunes and Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you do any shopping at Amazon, go over to ShiningWizards.com and click the Amazon banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you'd like to purchase one of our logo shirts, head on over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and pick one of our latest styles. Or head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards for our Shining Wizards Network and tons of other designs. If you'd like to be our friend on Facebook, join us at Shining Wizards. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, do so at Wizards Podcast. And if you'd like to send us any kind of email, you can do so at WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. The Shining Wizards Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, at GeekLifeRadio.com, and of course, at ShiningWizards.com. From all of us at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy.
What up? This is the Friday Night Delight, John Morrison, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
You know what, I never realized how long this intro was until I actually had to sit through it again. Are you okay over there?
No, I almost fell asleep and I was choking on a cookie.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're a day removed from the WWE's 2015 Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. And another exciting edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where blah 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 wrestling talk.
Talk about blah, blah, blah. Yeah, dude, I was eating these cookies I bought at Dunkin' Donuts last night. Here's what I did. It was like 11 o'clock at night, and I figured I needed to get some food, so I had food ready for when I'm snowed in for the next 3 days. So I went to Dunkin' Donuts. I got a thing of cookies. Then I went to CVS, and I got Pop-Tarts and ravioli.
That's a very odd combination, sir.
I don't know how to shop at all. I'm like, oh, this looks good for now. Yeah, so I'll probably die of starvation.
Well, it hasn't really started. I mean, it's been snowing all day, but it hasn't really started blizzard-like conditions.
No.
I think we got a few hours to go before they actually hits us.
I think so, too. I think they could have went with Raw tonight, actually.
I don't know. I mean, they're shutting down the subways in New York. They're shutting down the LIRR, Metro North. They're shutting down. I think they're actually shutting down PATH now, too. So
the world's ending.
Yes. And you are listening to the Shining Wizards.
Yay. You know what's funny?
What's funny?
That the Ascension, one of their teammates is Victor. The team is Victor.
You don't find it funny that the other one's name is Connor?
I think Victor's funnier. It's just like Victor. I don't know. I just find that funny.
I don't find anything about the Ascension funny. I think they ruined what could have been a great tag team.
Oh, no doubt. I don't care if they beat the New Age Outlaws or not. They're just whatever, dude.
Oh, you didn't know?
I'll tell you this much. Billy Gunn looks good as hell.
Yeah, but here's the fucked up thing. Like they're pushing that like, oh, this is the PG generation, and then yet they open up the pay-per-view with a bunch of suckets.
Who knows, man? They're just all over the place.
Makes no sense. Well, first of all, I'm Tony.
I'm Victor.
Fucking ruined it for me. I should have let you open.
All right. I'm Tony.
I'm Big E.
All right.
New Day.
Oh, God. All right, you want to get right into it?
Well, first, I hope everyone that's listening on the East Coast is safe. And for all of you that are enjoying 70, 80, 90, 100 degree days, go fuck yourself. Yeah, so let's get into it. Fuck it. Why not? WWE had their annual Royal Rumble last night in beautiful Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they sure did. All right, so first things first.
Renee Young looks awful.
Well, after last year's Royal Rumble, I think we were all together. Didn't we watch it together?
I don't remember.
We might have. Well, regardless.
Anyway.
Yeah, so I think we all knew Roman Reigns was going to win since last year's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's been pretty obvious. I think that, you know, I mean, despite some of us not picking Roman Reigns to win, kind of had a feeling he was going to go that way.
That was just hopeful picking. That was just you guys thinking, well, maybe WWE really, you know, isn't that predictable, and maybe they're actually going to go a creative route. However, the whole time I'm saying, fucking Roman Reigns. They're not going to budge. They will not budge from that. And they're still not going to budge no matter how people react.
And that's the problem with trying to book things a year in advance. Take a look at Cena and The Rock a couple years ago when they had a year planning for Cena to get his, you know, his revenge and his win against The Rock. Nobody fucking cared.
Nobody cared. And the crazy thing is, there's variables that happened. This was the year of Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose fucking got over huge. Even though he loses every match on pay-per-view and they're really not doing anything with him, the dude gets a great reaction because he connects with the fans organically. And that's the type of guy WWE should push. Seth Rollins, on the other hand, was given the ball and he's improved every week and he's running with it. And I wasn't all about Seth Rollins at first, but now I'm like, man, this guy can talk. He can go in the ring. He has a great look. I would rather even Seth Rollins being champion or having the title shot. He has the Money in the Bank briefcase, but all that's going to happen with that is after Roman Reigns beats Brock, Seth is going to cash in and lose.
You think that's how they're going to go, huh?
Absolutely. So they get the briefcase off of Seth Rollins and push him back into some mid-card feud with Randy Orton. And Roman Reigns cements himself as the guy.
You know what? You've been right quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be the Tony and Phil Reyes show, but I think I might have to concur with you on that one.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, but that's the problem that WWE is facing right now. They are just flat out, for whatever reason, maybe it's because Vince doesn't want to be wrong, I don't know, but they just don't want to change with the way things change over, I mean, a year is a long time.
It is a very long time. And WWE lately has not been known for long-term booking because all their booking is fucking crap. However, if Vince has a boner for a guy, he's going to stick with that guy. And Vince has a boner for Roman Reigns. And I'm going to say this. I like Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns has a world of potential. I think he needs to lose the fucking parachute jumpsuit. I think he needs to maybe – I don't know. Should he cut his hair even? Like, I guess the hair is good. I don't know. He needs to not talk, or he needs people writing better shit for him. You can't put a guy on TV and have him quote Daffy Duck and be your number one guy.
Here's what – I mean – a simple change to his look, keep the tights, get rid of the shirt, give him some forearms or something, you know, like give him just some black tape on his wrists or, you know, just something maybe covering his forearms to give him like that fucking warrior badass kind of look, you know?
He looks like he's going to jump out of a plane. The guy is huge. I'm sure he has a pretty good physique under there. I don't understand why they're hiding it.
Well, it's the same thing with Dean Ambrose. I'm sure he's built pretty fine, you know. I mean, Bray Wyatt, I can understand they want to cover up, but not guys like this.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. And the thing is, Vince has completely sabotaged himself. Other guys get over, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care. It's Vince's world, and I think sooner or later he's going to have to start caring, because if there's any truth behind the mass cancellations of the network after the Royal Rumble – they're hitting his pockets now. It's not just him saying fuck you to the fans because you're still going to pay. He's going to lose money off of bad business decisions. And I'm not being smarky, because I think all fans in today's age are smarky, because all fans are smart, except for, you know, there's a select few. But I think most fans are hip to what's going on because of the internet. And if the WWE is ignorant to that, that just makes them look like complete fucking idiots because their bread and butter is the WWE Network, which is on the fucking internet.
And I just don't understand. I know we had quite a few chats going on last night, which, of course, was probably more entertaining than about 80% of the pay-per-view, you know, things that happened last night on the show. But, you know, we had quite a few people last night who didn't even, like, bother giving their opinions. All they were quick to do was, like, oh, all you guys do is shit on the product, and all you do is say it's bad, and you guys are a bunch of fucking internet marks. And, dude, if you're going to say something back to us, we love that. Just fucking bring points. Back up your game. Don't, you know, coming online and just calling us, like, fucktards or whatever. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear that. Even the people that disagree with us don't want to hear that, you know?
Yeah, I call it like I see it. I will praise that world title match to the end of my days. That match, I was sitting on my couch. I was marking out. I was excited. I loved it. There was drama. I did not know how it was going to end. I mean, I had a feeling that Seth Rollins was taking the pinfall, but part of me, you know, suspended disbelief, and I was thinking, oh, maybe Cena's going to get pinned. Maybe Seth Rollins is going to beat Brock Lesnar. I mean, the way that match was put together was so different than anything else the WWE has been doing lately with their lazy-ass paint-by-numbers bullshit fucking matches. I was on the edge of my seat, and I honestly think Vince threw Seth in that match to protect Cena, and whoever put that match together knows wrestling. If it's Triple H or Ricky Stone or Jamie Noble or whoever was back there, they really pieced that match together well. Even maybe if it was Paul Heyman. But I really don't think Vince had much to do with that match except for maybe who was going up.
Well, I think the nice thing about Brock Lesnar being champion, and believe me, I despise the fact that he disappears for months at a time, but the one good thing is when you see a Brock Lesnar match, you know it's going to be different than all the other cookie-cutter shit that's on the show with that match, you know? And
absolutely.
I think that absolutely helps it stand out.
And, it does.
And like you said, I can't even think of his name now. Seth Rollins, there we go. I'm flipping through all the Shield names and I couldn't get to his. He was not afraid of Brock Lesnar. He wasn't afraid to stand up to him, and they built him perfectly for this match, which made you feel that, like, you know what, he's got as good a shot as either one of these guys to win, you know?
And he was laying it in. I was watching him thinking maybe he's going to be a little nervous in the ring with a Brock Lesnar, but he was laying in his shots. Everything looked nice and snug. You know, he wasn't careful. He didn't want to tread lightly. He took it to Brock. I mean, everyone was pretty stiff in that match. Everyone worked hard. Cena didn't really do anything in that match other than take German suplexes on his elbows and hit a couple of fireman's carry takeovers. But I mean, basically the match told a great story. Seth's elbow drop onto the table was breathtaking.
I don't think you're giving Cena enough credit for this match. I mean, he was in there, he was hanging. Three AAs to Brock, followed by a curb stomp, and they still couldn't beat him. And then Cena just, like, in disgust, just puts him through the barrier on the outside, dumps him into the steps, throws the steps at him. And then, yeah, Seth Rollins just, like, you know, puts the spike through his chest with the big elbow to the outside, which was fantastic, I thought.
Yeah, for a couple minutes there, I didn't know if he was really legit hurt or not.
Okay, well, since we're talking about the match, we might as well go in through the whole thing. Here's things that I didn't like about the match, just to be like that guy for a minute.
Let me guess real quick. Let me guess. Finisher right away.
No, you know what? I didn't mind that because I'm used to seeing that in the Brock Lesnar matches. Like, the whole theory behind beating Brock is if you can nail him with your finisher right away, you got to hit him with the heavy artillery.
That makes sense. You're right.
You know, and even 3-4 times hitting him with it, they established that Brock Lesnar is not your typical wrestler. He's not, you know, he's a beast.
Yeah.
And I think you need to do stuff like that, you know, in order to get that point across. What I didn't like is that that one time he's laid out for God knows how long, and finally a few minutes later, all of a sudden he just pops into the match, and there he is. It was like, holy shit.
Yeah, well, he was probably...
You think he was sandbagging?
Sandbagging? As in, well, what do you mean by sandbagging?
Well, I mean, like they call it gold bricking, like kind of pretending that you're hurt to sucker the guy in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I thought you meant sandbagging as in...
Oh, no. I didn't. That's not the word I was going for. Yeah, I'm thinking about that. That was not the word I wanted. I wanted to go with gold bricking. But yeah, man, letting Cena and Rollins have some time was also good. One thing that scared me is I forget who had who up. Oh, Brock had Cena grabbed, I think it was in the armbar, and Cena kind of picked him up and he was up on his feet.
Yeah.
And then Rollins leaps off the top and just kind of like collides with them.
Oh, he hit Brock in the head with that knee.
Yep.
Pretty hard.
Yeah. The other thing I didn't like, and this is just nitpicking, Paul Heyman's outside the ring and he's yelling at the commentators, he needs help. He needs help. Fucking Jerry the King Lawler could not wait to finish his thought. And he's like, I heard you. And he just keeps talking about what he was saying.
Jerry Lawler's the worst.
You know, Lance Russell, Gordon Solie, Jim Ross, Gorilla Monsoon. Any one of those guys would have been like, you know what? Brock's in trouble. Maybe we need to get some help out here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think it's more important than making your $9.99 pitch or whatever the fuck King was talking about at that point.
I don't even want to get into how horrible the commentating team is.
Horrendous.
They are just terrible.
Horrendous.
Absolutely awful. And their forced laughter at things is just so fucking phony.
I'll make a quick point about that. I don't want to get into the actual Rumble match because there's a few other things that I want to touch on before we get there. But during the Rumble match, I do not need to know when number five comes out that nobody's ever won from number five position.
I don't care
how many people were thrown out in 5 seconds or less. I don't care that Kane threw out 750 people in his career. I don't fucking care anymore.
No.
It seemed like it was like the audio version of pop-up video, and it took away so much from the fucking match.
It was like a fucking crappy-ass history lesson. I was not interested in that at all. They weren't paying attention to the match. You know, even though the match really wasn't telling a story anyway, you might as well have something to listen to because it was just a lot of guys just doing a whole bunch of nothing.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was just terrible. You want to start talking about the Rumble match?
Well, let me just run through real quick. Any thoughts about Kofi and Big E with Cesaro and Tyson Kidd? I thought the match was good enough.
It's fine. I mean, they have nothing planned for any of those guys, so it's just filler.
And Cesaro and Kidd, I think, are making a great team. They work well together. I don't understand why Adam Rose was out there, but whatever.
Speaking of Adam Rose, did you see who was in the his little goon squad?
No, you know what? And I was trying to keep an eye out for it, but I at that point, dude, it was really collapsing for me. I really didn't care much.
He had some heavenly rosebuds.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
I didn't notice they were in there. No kidding.
I didn't know until after.
Wow.
I didn't notice him either. I was too busy shitting on the whole thing.
The only person I thought I recognized was Danny DeMonto, but I'm like, there's no way he's in there.
I don't know. Maybe he was. But it was a heavenly party.
Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we didn't like New Age Outlaws in the Ascension. I thought that was kind of like, ugh.
It was like a Raw match. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of Raw matches, Usos against the Miz's again. Again.
Did anything come of that, really?
No, and here's the sad thing, and somebody else brought up the point, too, and it's a point that I've made. You can't have a heel tag team where one heel is controlling. It's the Colossal Connection all over again.
Oh, I know.
It's pathetic, dude. It needs to end. I'm glad they're finally sowing the seeds for that to fall apart. I just wish they'd get there faster and end it at the next pay-per-view rather than wait till WrestleMania.
How do you think they're going to blow it? Because you know they're going to blow it.
Maybe they make Miz Dow become somebody else's stunt double instead.
Oh, God. Oh, they're going to make him Cena's stunt double. You know how they always pair Cena with the guy that's getting over.
Oh, my God.
Cena Dow. It's going to happen. Watch. Oh, God. Man. That's terrible.
Well, with no Raw happening tonight, they're probably all tuned in to listen to the Shining Wizards spout off.
I don't know
off.
What the fuck kind of drivel they're going to air at 8, but I'm excited about it.
You know what? I'm kind of interested. Do you think they're going to do another tribute to Chris Benoit?
Oh, come on.
Abu.
They're going to do a lot of spinning. They're going to do a lot of spinning, I think.
Oh, they're going to fucking put canned audio behind the big win by Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I think they're going to do a lot of spinning. They're going to ignore a lot of the shit. Let's get into the Rumble.
Well, wait, just a couple more things. We're getting there. Well, actually, there's just one more thing. Bitch fight was worthless.
Oh, I half paid attention.
It just seems like the Bellas are just like wasting time setting up like moves that they could do, like double team moves. And then they fucking beat Natty with a forearm.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, let's get into the Royal Rumble.
Okay, so the first two guys that were out, Miz and R-Truth.
What's up? What's up?
Okay, the next guy, wasn't it Bubba Ray Dudley?
It was Bubba Ray Dudley.
Okay, couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they picked R-Truth because he's black like D-Von, so he could do the double team moves.
Of course.
However, I don't know if it was on R-Truth or the creative team that totally missed the boat. And I think you know where I'm going with this. R-Truth's catchphrase is, "What's up? What's up?"
Wow. Right? I did not think about that.
They had R-Truth and fucking Bubba Ray do the "What's up" drop. R-Truth is on top. Does he stop to say, "What's up?" No, he just dives in. How do you fucking miss an easy opportunity? It's just given to you. Like, here you go.
Yeah, that's bad on R-Truth. He should have known better.
He definitely should have known better. Obviously, or someone in the back should have been like, when you go up to do D-Von's fucking ball headbutt, yo, what's up? Because obviously it's your catchphrase.
Yeah, it was cool seeing Bubba, and a lot of people were saying that he looked like he like got out of shape again. But honestly, I think it was just the fact that he was wearing the old Bubba Ray Dudley outfit. That outfit tended to cover up things, you know, quite a bit.
No, it was the outfit. I think that's all it was. And if he got out of shape again, who gives a shit? You think he's back to stay?
From what I've read, it kind of seems that way. Like he was like saying like, "Oh, it's great to be back home." So he might be around for a while.
What about D-Von?
I really don't know. I don't know if they're working on trying to get both of those guys, and they can only convince Bubba Ray to come in.
Here's where they really missed the boat with booking too during the Rumble, when the Wyatts were beating up on Bubba Ray. And the crowd was just chanting for "We want D-Von." Like, it was booked where D-Von should have been the next guy, and the Dudleys could have faced off with the Wyatt members and gotten a nice battle, like a 90-second battle in there before the Wyatts could have eliminated both of them. Instead, they just dumped Bubba Ray, but I think they missed out on another great opportunity right there. It's like the booking is fucking handed to you on a silver platter, like, "Hey, this is easy. Let's do this." But there's no thought into it. Bubba Ray got eliminated during the fucking countdown.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a great idea. And to me, I don't know if people out there would see the difference, but I'd much rather see the Dudleys come back than to watch the New Age Outlaws again.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I mean, I don't even mind the APA so much, you know? They were a cool tag team. I think they could still be relevant, even though they're old as dirt, too. But
I know.
I think I just hate the New Age Outlaws these days, but that's just me.
You know what, though? To be fair, when they're in the ring, they still look like stars. And when Billy Gunn is in there and he's doing all those moves, and the dude still has charisma, and it totally outshines like 90% of the roster.
Yeah, I think so. I think you might be right on that.
You know, he could still go, and you just look at him, and he just looks like he has it. You know, he still has like this star quality that all these fucking clones, even if you're dressed like low budget Demolition Legion Doom guys, they're still fucking clones. Everyone looks the same. Everyone fucking wrestles the same. And guys like Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, they still stand out.
Yeah. The problem with Billy Gunn is how many times, I mean, we've seen his career all through the WWE. Every time they strap the rocket to his ass, it just kind of fizzles out.
Yeah. Well, the booking's always terrible. I mean, come on, the one Billy Gunn.
Well, I mean, Mr. Ass could have went far, but even that kind of fizzled out, too.
The booking was shitty.
Yeah, not everybody got the awesome booking like Steve Austin and The Rock and all that. And here's the other thing. Like, Steve Austin can pull all these shenanigans, like sitting in the corner, looking at his watch, like all this stuff. And I know they keep going back to the well. They did it with CM Punk. It kind of worked. They did it with Bray last night. It kind of worked. But nobody fucking booed when Steve Austin was winning Rumble after Rumble after Rumble. Am I wrong?
It's because they listened to the fans. Listen, man, Steve Austin was not their guy. He was not in their plans at all. But the fans responded to Steve Austin, and I guess whoever Vince was listening to at the time, because they were getting their asses kicked by WCW, Vince had to listen to somebody. They said, "Let's run with Austin. I know he's not the guy. Right now, let's run with Austin because he's getting hot. He's getting reactions. They've missed the boat on so many of those opportunities, and people are saying, well, thank God they have John Cena and Roman Reigns is the next moneymaker. We'll never know who could have really made money for the WWE because they've been fed to John Cena and jobbed out, and they're going to be fed to Roman Reigns. There's guys that, if they were given the ball, would have probably made more money for WWE than Cena and Roman Reigns. We'll never know.
And they're feeding Rusev to John Cena for WrestleMania, it looks like.
I've been saying that for months.
Oh.
Of course they are. Of course they are. It just goes to show you. I mean, I don't know, since there's no competition, it's back to Vince world and he's going to do what he wants, but they're just not listening. Look what happened last year with Batista. They had no plans for Daniel Bryan. They had to put him in the main event. Unfortunately, he got hurt. I think as soon as Daniel Bryan got hurt, Vince was like, oh, thank fucking God. Now I can go back to my usual plans. And now look at Daniel Bryan, an uneventful entry, an uneventful elimination, and it's like it didn't even matter. He was just another dude. He was another fucking R-Truth in the match. Like, he was there for a couple minutes and then gone.
Yeah.
You know, at least put him in the final four. At least build some kind of, you know, belief that maybe he can win it. But the whole time, Roman, like, look at the last four guys that were the Big Show, Kane.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Really? I mean, you're going to go with that in your final four? Come on.
You know,
really?
You know, if you're like, you know, if you're armchair quarterback in that, it's not a bad idea to have the Big Show and Kane working together to pick guys off one at a time. But I think what you need to do is you need to move that spot up like 10 spaces.
Yeah.
You know, once like the whole Bray Wyatt thing runs its course, now you get these two in back to back and let them start picking off a full ring one at a time.
Right.
And then when they start picking off enough guys, like say at one point, like they're trying to eliminate Dean Ambrose, that's when Roman Reigns comes in. That's where you have that 2-on-2. And even if they get rid of Ambrose at that point, then you let Reigns take those two guys out, have a breather, and then another monster comes in that takes on Reigns. And it would have made a lot more sense.
Everything would have made a lot more sense. Here's the funny thing, man. The final four, they could have had Dolph Ziggler, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns.
And they could have kept Daniel Bryan up until that point too, you know?
Right. I mean, there was so many people they could have had in the last four or five guys.
Hey, let me interrupt you a second. There's somebody that keeps calling. Do we want to take calls yet or do you want to wait?
Who is it?
I don't know. Somebody just called three times now. I keep letting them go.
Is it call? All right, pick it up.
All right, let me add this on. Welcome, caller. You're on with Eddie and Tony, a Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Sean calling from Santa Clarita, California.
What's up, Sean?
Also known as the Shark.
What's going on there, Shark?
Not much. I've been listening to what you guys were saying. First off, I agree about what you said with a lot of the matches. First off, there was absolutely nothing wrong with the triple threat title match. And the Diva match was a waste of time. Just another win for the four girls that are Nikki, Brie, and Nikki's Rack. Because that pretty much counts for two. But also, regarding the Rumble, there were some highlights for it. I thought it was cool being able to call Bubba Ray Dudley that name again, and not Brother Ray or Bully Ray, but Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah, but I agree with that.
I do think they missed the boat not having Devon there. What the hell was the boogeyman doing in the goddamn thing?
Oh, I forgot about that. What a waste. What
you
a waste
see,
of a spot.
I didn't mind the boogeyman, though. I really didn't mind. I kind of got a kick out of seeing him again.
I hate the boogeyman.
When he smashed the alarm clock over his head, the thing didn't even break right.
He botched his one spot.
And I also agree with you guys that I would much rather the Ascension fight the Dudley Boys than fight the New Age Outlaws. Because anytime I think of the New Age Outlaws, I think of how last year when them and Kane fought at Mania against the Shield, and they got decimated in 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they throw them out there because they really don't have any other tag teams, and I guess they're the only quote-unquote legendary tag team that can still kind of go. But, man, if they had Bubba Ray in the building and Devon Dudley in the building, they should go with that.
Yeah, but also regarding the Rumble and why I'm pissed about it, It's like they learned absolutely nothing from last year. And I've heard some guys say that Daniel Bryan is so over, he doesn't need to win the Royal Rumble. And the same can be said for Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler. I'm like, what are you, fucking high?
that's what? Kind of backwards thinking, actually. You want to please the fans. You want to give them what they want. People want to see Daniel Bryan in the title picture and Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose. Even Seth Rollins at this point. It's just the booking for Roman Reigns has been so bad that the fans have turned against him, and there's really nothing they can do about it at this point, I don't think, unless they turn him heel.
Here's the other thing is that regarding that statement is Stone Cold Steve Austin was crazy over, and he won the Rumble. HBK, absolutely. He was crazy over, he won the Rumble. So where exactly does that stupid statement really make any sense?
Well, whoever said that statement is a fucking idiot, and I agree with you 100%. I mean, the guy that is supposed to propel the WWE to the next level is supposed to be a guy that gets a great reaction, that the fans are behind, they want to buy his merch, he gets, you know, loud pops, people want to see him hold the championship, people know he can put on a great match, and that's who you want to put at the end of WrestleMania in the title picture. Roman Reigns is nowhere near ready, even if his promos are written terribly and he has to quote Daffy Duck, he still does not know how to talk. He's really not that polished in the ring yet. I would much rather see a Dolph Ziggler in the main event or a Daniel Bryan, because those guys can go. The day of towering, hulking wrestlers main eventing manias because they're big is over. The fans are smarter than that now. Fans want athleticism. Fans want talent. Fans want charisma. Fans want guys that are good on the microphone. Fans want,
we want competition.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, with WWE not having competition right now, gives Vince the opportunity to do whatever he wants without repercussion, except for this time with the mass cancellations of the network. Maybe it's a wake-up call, but most likely they're just going to completely ignore it.
You see, some people are objecting to that, but I'm actually in favor of it, because the reason why is because they're hitting the WWE where it hurts. Their yes. money, their wallet, their pet project that they can't afford to have fail.
Exactly. And when magazine websites like Time are picking it up, like the canceled subscription hashtag, whatever it was trending, and people were upset, like when news outlets are picking it up, it's bad. It's bad for business, and stockholders are not going to react positively to this. They're going to say, well, what's my money going into here? Why is this not good? I don't understand what they're doing here. This is our money they're fucking with. So
yeah,
so
if I'm an investor, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, this is what you guys are doing with my money?
Yeah, exactly. You gotta please not just the shareholders, but you got to do what the fans want. I know it's Vince's world, and Vince does what Vince wants, and he's going to alter fan reactions in post-production. But sooner or later, you got to do what the fans want. Sean, thank you so much for calling tonight, buddy.
Yeah, and what real quick, I want to ask you guys.
Yeah.
Is it me, or does it seem like the Rumble match itself really didn't benefit anybody, not even Roman Reigns? Because if you look at it like this, did it make Reigns look strong? No, it didn't. When The Rock came out, it really didn't do any favors for him, because honestly, it's like he just gift-wrapped the WrestleMania spot for Reigns and handed it to him on a platter.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Rumble, I think early on, maybe it helped Bray Wyatt a little bit, but I don't think they really have. They're building up Bray for Undertaker, I think, obviously, so they have to make him look strong going into Mania. But Roman Reigns, in the Rumble itself, I don't think he had any memorable spots. I don't think he was dominant like he was last year. I really don't think the Rumble did anything for anybody. Look how Daniel Bryan and Ziggler were eliminated. They were basically just kind of shoved off the apron. You know?
And Ziggler and Ambrose looked like chumps by having Big Show and Kane, who nobody calls them stars anymore, toss them out like they're nothing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It didn't benefit anybody, and we all knew going into it that Roman Reigns was walking out the winner. So it was just a big fucking waste of time. But Sean,
agreed.
Once again, enjoy the California weather, man. We're in the middle of a fucking blizzard here, so enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, thanks, man. Well, not so much sunshine, but yeah, I hear about the weather. Stay safe, guys.
Yeah, man. Take care.
And enjoy Raw tonight. you know what, though? You guys were talking, and you made a good point. they're not booking big shows anymore. They're just booking people to fit into slots that they have designated each and every year. Who's going to wrestle The Undertaker? Who's going to wrestle for the championship?
What's the nostalgia act?
Yeah, who's going to be in the pre-show? What Roddy Piper, Jim Duggan, Ted DiBiase can we book to interview and have Ron Simmons say, damn? It's the same, dude. It's the same cookie-cutter positioning. They don't say, let's take these two guys and put them out there and kill it. Let's take these two tag teams or these three tag teams or whatever and let them go out there and let them do their flips and their bumps and their jumps and their dives and let's let them get over. They don't do that anymore. They just don't. It's always, we have to build blah, blah, blah for The Undertaker. So that's the only reason why he's getting a push, to build him for The Undertaker, right, which is a disservice to him because they're building him up to lose.
Well, they did that. They did that once already with Cena, and he never really got his traction back.
And it's the same. It's the same shit. Triple H is going to take a spot because now he has to wrestle, even though he doesn't wrestle all year. Now he's the new Undertaker, and he's wrestling Sting. So who's getting a rub in that match?
Nobody.
It's ridiculous, dude. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely nobody. And I guess you can say Roman Reigns is going to get the rub from Brock Lesnar, but at this point, Brock Lesnar is so fucking good and dominant and believable that I want him as champion. I would like to see him on Raw, maybe at least once a month.
I don't know.
Even defend the title, maybe once every couple months, whatever. But he's so believable, and even though he hasn't been on TV that much, him holding that title makes the title mean more.
I just
he's impossible to beat. It seems like I believe Brock Lesnar when he wrestles. I believe.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You just had Brock Lesnar, who was destroyed by two guys, come back into the match and decimate his opponents and get the win after they were trying forever to beat the shit out of each other and after they left him incapacitated for, it seemed like, the better part of 10 minutes. You cannot convince me, after the reaction at the Rumble last night, that Roman Reigns, one man, Mike Dell, is going to get in there and beat Brock Lesnar. It's just not going to happen. Even John Cena was shaking his head at the post show going, he's a machine. I don't know what to say.
That's the point. Roman Reigns is going to crush him.
And then Roman Reigns is going to wind up jobbing to Bray Wyatt the next month at the fucking fast ditto pay-per-view, whatever the fuck they call it.
Roman Reigns isn't jobbing to anybody.
So what's he going to do? He's going to be like the Goldberg of the next millennium? Like
he's going to be the Cena. That's it.
I don't know. I'm scratching my head.
Believe that.
Well, let's get back to the match. Another thing that I really fucking hate and I'm so tired of, and I know we bitch about it every year, but once again, it's another cookie-cutter spot. Can Kofi just fucking get eliminated once and that's it? Can somebody just destroy him off the apron and just be done with it? Now we this is how hacky we've gotten, dude. We've got the fucking Rosebuds catching him.
I know. Just have him come in and get thrown out and be done with it. It was funny because you know that Kofi's not going to in the Royal Rumble. Who cares?
It's just stupid. And what does it do for him? Nothing. Like, oh, look, he could walk on his hands. Or, oh, look, they caught him. How funny. Meh. And then a minute later, he got eliminated anyway.
I know. Now, if Kofi had that save by the Rosebuds and then hung in there and was like down to the final four or final five, then it'd be like, oh, it's kind of worth it that he didn't get eliminated right there.
Or if you want to build an insta-feud, have Adam Rose get so pissed that he eliminates himself by diving over the top, and he takes out Kofi and all the Rosebuds, and they both get eliminated.
Yeah, you know, if they gave a shit about the mid-card, they would do that. But they obviously don't.
You make me laugh, Eddie.
It's so fucking true, man. It's so fucking, they're so goddamn lazy. It's unbelievable. What are they doing?
I tell you who's not lazy. The godfather of DDP yoga himself, Diamond Dallas Page, aside from the fact that he wasn't wearing tights.
I know.
He fucking dropped the diamond cutter quite a few times, even on Rusev.
Yeah, he did. He looked, I guess he's in shape.
Well, he's almost, I think he's got to be 60. If he's not 60 yet, he's damn near close to it.
Yeah, he's definitely close, but he was hitting those diamond cutters and he looked good.
And he took the bump to get tossed out of the ring.
Yeah, of course he did. Well, he does DDP yoga. I'm sure he's all limber and wiry.
That was a nice bit of nostalgia.
Yeah, I liked it. I definitely liked it.
It played off of the fact that you can hit the diamond cutter at anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
It just so happened he hit it 5 times in a row.
In that one Royal Rumble appearance, they did more with him than they did his entire stint in WWE.
Speaking of short stints and not doing anything, Titus O'Neil apparently was supposed to be eliminated 1 second last night. But whoever was doing the eliminating missed their cue. I think it was Ambrose and Reigns, wasn't it?
They probably just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and I noticed that the commentators were more concerned about getting that point across than anything else that was going on in the match.
What a fucking waste of a dude, man. Yeah. I think he has potential.
They all have potential. Zack Ryder had potential last night, and they fucking shit-canned him real quick.
I know, dude. Why was Dolph number 30 just to get eliminated pretty much right away?
Dude, it was depressing. There was so much. Like, Sin Cara came out to no reaction and got tossed right away.
I would say 25 guys came out to no reaction.
It was like fucking Biggie. What number was he, like 27, 28? No reaction whatsoever.
No. After the early, when they got rid of Bubba Ray pretty fast, the early elimination of Bubba Ray, it kind of deflated the crowd a bit.
Yeah, but Daniel Bryan getting eliminated just fucking killed everything.
Oh, yeah.
Killed everything. The bullshit chants were starting up. And
I know. You know, everyone says Vince McMahon's a genius. If he's such a genius, then how did he not know what kind of reaction Roman Reigns was going to get during the fucking Royal Rumble? How did he not know? How did we know? How did we know? These a couple of fucking fans that have a podcast. How did we know exactly how this was going to play out? But the owner of a $1 billion company, oh, this is going to be great. How did we know and him not know? And how is he surrounded by people that don't have the fucking balls to say, hey, Vince, you know, maybe we should go a different direction right now? How is that even happening?
Because we're assholes and we sit in a basement and people fucking yell at us on Facebook too because we suck. That's why.
We definitely don't suck.
Good ideas come from the fucking minds that actually think about this shit. And you know, I want to kind of plug Lopez for a minute because he had a little bit of a breakdown on what he thought of the current roster in terms of, like, you know, who had ability, who's got marketability. And he kind of went into detail with all this stuff. And one person reads it and goes, you're fucking stupid. You're an asshole. It's like, but why? And that's all it is, dude. People don't have ideas of their own. It's kind of like with Steve Austin when he used to tell Vince. He's like, this sucks. Well, do you have a better idea? No, but I know this sucks. Now, speaking of Steve Austin, if you replace Steve Austin, bless you, if you replace Steve Austin with Daniel Bryan in these past two Rumbles, Steve Austin's a 2-time Royal Rumble winner. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Well, because he was over, and Vince loves him, and he's selling merch, so they would give it to him twice. But for some reason with Daniel Bryan, who sells merch, maybe not as much as John Cena, but I see an awful lot of Yes shirts in the crowd still.
If Daniel Bryan was given 60% of the push that John Cena gets, and he would definitely sell just as much merch. Listen, the only reason Cena sells all this merch is because kids like Cena. Why do kids like Cena? Because Cena's portrayed as a superhero. You could have fucking dressed the Brooklyn Brawler up like fucking John Cena and pushed him to the moon, and kids would have fucking bought his shit too. It's just presentation.
Graduate of the Terry Garvin School of Self-Defense.
it's presentation. You know, that's all it really is presentation.
They didn't push the Brooklyn Brawler to the moon. They pushed his moon.
Oh, God.
Boo!
Pushed his moon.
Boo. Hey, if you're listening, if you want to call in, I don't know how much more we have to talk about this, and I know that I want to catch Raw. I don't know if you do. I want to see what kind of abomination
we got
they put
15
on.
15 minutes. Let me think real quick of something else I did not cover. People calling people smarks. We talked about that fucking bullshit. We're all fans. We're all smarks at this point. None of us are stupid. If we're talking about it on fucking Facebook and we're not 9, then I guess we're quote-unquote smarks. So fucking suck a dick, you fucking judgment assholes.
Amen. If the bell wasn't 20 feet across the room, I'd be ringing it.
There it is. Seriously. Fucking smarky, marky. We all, we're adults. We have common sense. We make sense out of shit. and we have points, and we back up our points. And if they don't go with what you say, we're smarky. Oh, you don't like John Cena because you're a smart. This is a fucking weak-ass argument. Those are just people that don't have anything to fucking back up their arguments.
No, absolutely not. But if you'd like to argue with us, it's 201-467-8949. On the Skype, it's Tony Z Phone, all one word. And for the next few minutes, let me see if I have any other notes. So Vince was surprised at the backlash. His officials, his buddies were surprised as well.
How?
Well, from what?
We knew. How?
David Meltzer had a quote that said that Vince apparently is sticking with Lesnar and Reigns because he doesn't want a repeat of last year with squeezing Daniel Bryan into a triple threat. Yet he repeated the same thing at the Royal Rumble when he didn't give the people what they wanted. So Vince is a fucking crazy old man. I have no other rational way to think about what he's doing and try to put like a positive spin on it. No, I think he's just crazy. A crazy old man who's off his meds.
He's off his meds. He's completely out of touch. He's always had fucking boners for tall guys. I think he's got a little bit of the gayness in him, seriously. No offense, but he had the whole WBF thing going on. I mean, I think he just likes the
world
tall,
butt fuckers.
He likes the tall, muscular dudes. That's his fucking thing. And when a guy like Daniel Bryan gets over on his own without the machine behind him, it fucking hurts him.
Now, so which machine would that
everyone
be?
Wrong.
Is that the giant machine, the big machine, the Hulk machine?
It's the Hulk machine.
Brother Ichiban, brother.
It's terrible.
It's all terrible.
It's terrible. But if it's not what Vince had planned, then he's not going to go with it. And that's just how it is. I bet you he was fucking thrilled that Daniel Bryan got hurt.
Yeah, probably.
You know? Oh, good. Now I can go on with my plan at this year's Mania and put Daniel Bryan in the ring with Sheamus again for a match. Who gives a fuck about Sheamus and Daniel Bryan?
Oh,
no one gives a fuck about that shit.
Real quick, one other point. Daniel Bryan has been losing to Bray Wyatt for over 14 months now. And he's the guy that fucking eliminates Daniel Bryan last night.
Yeah, isn't the face supposed to, like,
eventually get their comeuppance? Yes, I totally agree.
And one would think, right?
We got a call coming in. Let me take this real quick.
Is it Matt?
No, of course not. Shining Wizards, you're talking Royal Rumble with Tony and Eddie.
What's up, boys? It's Big Phil.
Hey.
What's up there, Mr. Ray of Sausage Fingers, the Impact player?
Everything all right?
Yeah, we're feeling better because now we're going through therapy. But yeah, everything's cool. How you doing, man? You still in the city?
Yeah, I'll be here for the night probably.
Oh, you sticking around through this shit?
Yeah, I can't make it home. It's ridiculous.
Well, as usual, brother, be safe, man. Be careful out there.
I appreciate it.
I'm sure most of you guys know if you've been listening to the show for a long time. If not, Phil's an EMT in the NYC, so he's out in the shit tonight. So, you know, keep your thoughts out for Big Phil while he's helping the other people while he's doing his thing out there.
I appreciate it, man.
No problem. What's your thoughts about the Rumble? I know you got something itching you.
I really liked the title match. I thought it was, and like Eddie said, I thought Brock was the most convincing. I thought Cena did well, too. The finish, obviously, was lackluster. There's something missing in terms... I mean, when I mean missing, I mean, like, there's... I don't want to hear about the connection to the fans. They haven't been connected to the fans in a couple of years. That's not the issue. The issue is I don't think the product is connecting with the talent. I think they're getting mixed messages, if that makes any sense to you guys. Like, you know, they're pushing guys that they wanted. You know, we knew Reigns was the guy a year ago. That's pretty obvious, right?
Right.
But is it me, or is it just the fact that they don't? They're afraid to push this guy any more than he was supposed to begin with, even before he got hurt. You know, the guy can't cut a promo for his life. We know that too. And I also feel like it's detrimental to him. And I also think something's not connecting with the talent.
I agree with you. I think the big disconnect is that the talent are so pigeonholed with scripted shit that they don't have a chance to let any of their personalities shine. I think that's basically what it is. There's such a disconnect between what they have to offer and what they're being given by writers who have no idea who these people are. It's just a big clash. And that's the problem. Like I said earlier, Phil, Roman Reigns has the potential to be huge. If he was maybe given a little more freedom to say what he wants. I don't care if he stutters here and there, but if he makes a good point, then it's believable. You know, if his look changes a little bit, if he says, hey, listen, I'm not here to quote Daffy Duck. I'm going to do my talking in the ring. I don't have to be the most eloquent speaker. You know, it's because that's why I'm a wrestler. I'm not fucking a public speaker. I do my talking in the ring. You know, realistic shit like that, then people wouldn't judge him so much. It's like Vince is writing for him, trying to turn him into the next Rock. It's not working, and that's where the disconnect is. And I'm pretty sure guys like Roman Reigns, even though he's being pushed to the moon, he's probably a little frustrated because the guy you're pushing to the moon shouldn't be getting fucking booed out of the building.
Well, let me interrupt you real quick. Did you guys happen to catch they did a little after party shit with The Rock and Roman Reigns after the Royal Rumble went off the air?
Yeah.
It was all The Rock just joking around and like making people laugh and breaking character the whole time just to kind of try to give Roman Reigns a rub, and I think it made him look worse actually. There was no substance there. It was just like, blood, we have to stick together. Is that kind of like Rikishi doing it for The Rock? I mean, like, I don't fucking get it.
So I did for The Rock. there's a huge disconnect. And people can piss and moan all they want. But, you know, the bottom line is, I mean, a real good fan can see that. It's no longer about the nonsense. It's about, you know, them. It's a disconnect. It's more than the writing. It's more than that. It's a huge disconnect, and I just feel like they probably won't get this shit together until something drastic happens, whether it's the ratings or network thing or Vince. One of Vince's projects fails because he hates fucking wrestling so much now.
He sure does.
You know what my kid's favorite moment was from the Rumble last night? John Cena's entrance when the crowd's chanting "John Cena sucks."
Oh, singing along?
Dude, we sing that in my house all the time. Me and the kid just look at each other and start going, John Cena sucks.
You know, it's funny. I hate to say this right now, but I would much rather Cena be in the main event of Mania against Brock Lesnar.
Oh, no.
Seriously, at this point, absolutely.
It's safe. At least you know what you're getting.
But that's why we're in the situation that we're in, because Cena's safe for the past 15 years.
If they're afraid to push and not reach, I don't want to say that, but I don't want to use the brass ring cliche, but if they don't want to reach for something else or an alternative, what else is there to do? You know, it's just, I don't know.
You know, they could have done everything so much differently, and they just fucking blew it. Like, fantasy booking-wise, how I would have done it is I would have had maybe someone like Ziggler win the Rumble. He eliminates fucking Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns comes back into the ring, attacks Ziggler. He's frustrated. The Rock comes out. The Rock is in the ring with Roman Reigns. He's trying to calm him down. They shake hands. They hug it out. Roman Reigns turns around. Superman punches The Rock. Now Roman Reigns is a solid heel. And then they could build to a fucking Roman Reigns-Rock match at WrestleMania. Put Roman Reigns over The Rock. Actually, no. Scratch that. Put The Rock over Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Have Roman Reigns kind of walk around the ring after the match. Finally, he turns to The Rock. They shake hands, hug. Then maybe they can go on from there. The fans start respecting Roman Reigns a little more. It looks like he paid some dues. He took a loss. But at the end of the day, he respects his predecessors. Something like that would get Roman Reigns over, not what they did.
I think if Rollins cashes in prior to Mania, I think it's going to put a monkey wrench in everything, and it may spark something better. Maybe this may not be the main event at Mania. I mean, you hope not. So maybe it'll be like something different. You hope for something different. That's what we do. We just keep hoping.
I know. That's why we watch.
Yeah,
we watch
it's just one big fucking train wreck.
We watch because we hope. But like I said earlier, I really think that Seth Rollins isn't going to cash in until after Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar, and then Roman Reigns is going to beat Seth Rollins.
Anyway, it's cool to say hello. Wish you guys well. I'm going to try to come out on Saturday if weather permits.
Awesome. Phil, sorry about your chair.
Dude.
That's terrible.
But I'm going to have more seating now, so if you bitches want to come for Mania, at least you'll be comfortable. You know?
I like that. I like
so
that.
I sacrifice that for you, you know?
Thank
I'm
you.
Here for you guys.
That's my but, get out of my chair, meathead, huh?
Dude, I was talking to Espo yesterday. He goes, I missed the chair, man. I'm like, yeah, shut up, asshole. Anyway, All right, boys, Phil. Be safe.
All right, you too. All right.
You too, man. Be safe out there tonight.
All right, avoid the clap.
App always.
Gonna try.
Good night.
Later.
Good night. Good stuff.
Yeah, Phil's awesome. I think last year was the Shining Throwbacks during one of the other fucking storms that we had.
Yeah, something like that. Listen, we got about 3 minutes.
Okay,
so,
yes.
Before we go, I'm just going to plug this Saturday night, January 31st, Frozen Fallout, Pro Wrestling Syndicate at the Rahway Rec Center. If you want to see a good Rumble, you're going to see the on-the-spot title shot Rumble, which is good every year. Last year, my champion, Fala Ba, won the on-the-spot title shot Rumble, cashed in his fucking medallion, and is now wearing the gold. So who knows who's going to win it this year. We got Sabu on the show. We got fucking... John Hennigan, who opened up the show.
And just announced Justin Gabriel, or a.k.a. FKA Justin Gabriel.
Yes, yeah, in the Suicidal Six-Way, I believe.
Whatever his new name is now. It's actually PJ something or other, isn't it?
It's Peter Gabriel.
Sledgehammer.
And we have Brian Myers versus Kevin Matthews in a no-rope barbed wire match. So
that's going to tear the fucking house down.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of cool shit going on. So check out PWS Rahway, New Jersey this Saturday. Go to ProWrestlingSyndicate.com for all your ticket information.
And don't forget, Pro Wrestling Syndicate Television is the new episode 4, is up on the YouTubes right now, featuring Shining Edward Jackson in the bathroom once again with his boys.
Always in the bathroom. These episodes keep getting better and better as we go along.
There's a great match with the Reynolds brothers defending championships against the American Wolves. Yes, American Wolves. It's a great match. Please tune in and check that out.
Yeah, this isn't bullshit. This is good stuff. It's a learning process. We get better with every show. We listen to the fans, and the fans say, hey, you know, enough people say, we don't like this, we don't like that.
You hear that?
We say, you know what? Maybe we'll change it up. And you will notice after, you know, every show, things are improved upon because we want to please the audience. It's not about a fucking ego. It's not about what we want. It's about what you guys want to see, and we're working our asses off to provide that for you.
Real quick, smash-wrestling.com, Smash Wrestling, our brothers to the north, Wildcat Sports down in New Orleans, wildkatsports.com, I think it is.
New Orleans.
The links are all up on our website, Reality of Wrestling. Of course, the boys keep going back and forth, Booker T's organization. Kevin, if he was here, I have no idea where Kevin is tonight. Yep. He would tell you about the charity event for the Oklahoma Bombers. Jesus, how fucking retarded I am.
Wow.
For the Boston Marathon bombings. We got all the information. That's not until March. We will have a proper show, hopefully next week, if we dig out of this fucking cavernous snow that's dropping itself on us as we speak. But right now, it's time for whatever the WWE is going to show in place of Raw. So for Eddie, this is Tony. Hope you guys enjoyed this BS that we slapped together. And we will see you next week or maybe Saturday.
Bye.
Don't believe everything you hear on the podcast. Most of it is made up, not true, and I get so embarrassed, but I have no way to get back at them.
Like I said before, everyone thinks it's a big fucking joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Big funny joke. And then they realize when they're going to get 40 messages a day and they're opening up Pandora's box.
Next question. Has the wizard... Jesus! I'm skip. Sorry, Michael.
See?
That's pretty funny. Listen.
All people care about.
Has the wizard...
popular.
Right.
You know,
let's continue.
You realize after this, you know, when we start making comments like, and that's when the warlord comes in and whatever else, and push Nelson and whatever other stupid comments we made where people fucking follow suit. Now the new thing is everyone's going to say I'm
just busted.
Oh, no, I'm just busting. I'm just busting. I'm busting. I'm busting. Oh, I'm just busting.
Just busting.
I'm just busting. I'm just busting. Ah.
Just busting. I'm just busting.
I'm busting.
You're gay. You're fucking gay.
I'm busting. Oh, I'm just busting. I'm just busting.
Just busting. I'm just busting.
Oh no, I'm just busting. I'm just busting.
I need a Nelson. No, I'm just busting.